Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fischer and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Raphael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. He usually joins us on Thursdays at noon, but we had the governor on yesterday, and he was so kind as to accommodate us and be with us today at noon on Friday, and we appreciate that. And Rafi, welcome to the show.
I'm not that popular, so I'm easy.
Well, we appreciate it. We know you are busy, and we appreciate the effort nonetheless. A lot is happening, man. So a lot of things going on the North Shore. It was a busy week over there.
Right. You know, I thought we'd, you know, maybe try and wrap up the Randy Smith thing, but there could be some additional fallout with this election, and we'll get to that a little bit later on. But I thought it would be appropriate to maybe lay out for your audience, you know, how this is unwinding and the implications of all of this. So today is a month since the sheriff attacked a blogger at the steakhouse in Madisonville. So in a month, you know, the sheriff is now the fourth elected criminal justice official from St. Tammany Parish to leave office with a felony offense. So before this incident with the sheriff, St. Tammany had the dubious distinction of achieving what I call the Triple Crown. And what I'm referring to is that you had the former coroner of St. Tammany Parish, the former DA of St. Tammany Parish, and the former sheriff of St. Tammany Parish, all convicted of felony offenses related to their official duties. So beginning in 2026, you had St. Tammany coroner Peter Galvin. He pled guilty to conspiring to steal government funds and was sentenced to 24 months. Then in later in 2026, you had the former longtime DA of St. Tammany Parish, Walter Reed, found guilty by a federal jury of 18 counts of wire fraud, mail fraud, and money laundering, and he was sentenced to 48 months. And then in 2021, you had the former sheriff of St. Tammany Parish that was found guilty of a variety of state sex offenses and then later pled guilty to federal bribery charges, and he's serving life. So, you know, that's the Triple Crown that I'm referring to. You know, rarely do you see one criminal justice official committing a crime. You had three concurrent elected officials, criminal justice officials in St. Tammany Parish that went to the penitentiary for felony violations. And now we're seeing, you know, Randy Smith, the sheriff of St. Tammany Parish, the 10-year interim sheriff of St. Tammany Parish, he's the quadruple crown now. He's the fourth in all of this. And This all started on May the 29th when Randy Smith made a series of alcohol-induced decisions that led us to this past Wednesday's felony guilty plea and resignation. So on the afternoon of Friday, May the 29th, the sheriff, and we know this from the arrest warrants as well as the factual basis of the guilty plea that was entered into the record on Wednesday. So we know that on May the 29th, the sheriff arrived at the Madisonville Steakhouse as the guest of a bail bondsman in St. Tammany Parish. He arrived there at noon. The attack occurred around 4 to 4:30 in the afternoon. So I don't know about you, but I don't think I've ever spent four and a half hours in a restaurant in my life. And the sheriff was there from noon until 4 or 4:30 when he attacked this person. And we know from the arrest warrant, and we know from the video that was obtained from the restaurant, that at the sheriff's table, there was one bottle of wine consumed, which appropriately, the name of the wine was the Walking Fool. And 13 mixed drinks were served at that table. We know from the factual basis that was introduced into the record and filed into the record when the sheriff pled guilty that the restaurant video showed the drinks being served at the sheriff's table, and investigators were able to count the numbers of drinks and identify who at that table consumed which drinks. So 4.5 hours, 13 mixed drinks, and a bottle of wine were consumed. And we know that from the arrest warrant, we know that the video in the restaurant showed someone walking up to the sheriff's table and telling them something. And we know from the arrest warrant that the person that went up to the sheriff's table and spoke to the sheriff and the bondsman was telling them that the sheriff's adversary was seated at the bar. So the video shows the sheriff and the bondsman talking at the table. The bondsman gets up and uses that as the pretext to go to the restroom. He confirms who the identity is of the individual seated at the bar with his back to the sheriff's table. So the bondsman served as the scout. And we know that as the bondsman returned back to the table, the sheriff was looking at him, and the bondsman punched his hand, which was the signal that confirming that the person with his back to the sheriff was in fact his adversary. That triggered the sheriff getting up from his table and attacking his victim. All of that was captured on video. So this wasn't a heat of the moment type of attack. This was premeditated. This was talked about. And, you know, the bondsman went and confirmed that the sheriff's adversary was in fact the individual with his back to the sheriff. The sheriff couldn't confirm that without the bondsman. So we know that all of that evidence was collected. And when that was called into the 911, the first people that responded were the St. Tammany Sheriff's Office deputies. And they quickly learned that the perpetrator of this attack, this assault, was their boss, the sheriff. But by the time that they arrived, the sheriff had already fled the scene. So we know from the video, and we know from the testimony, and we know from the statement that the Louisiana Bureau of Investigation obtained from the bail bondsman that gave the LBI a statement saying that he helped the sheriff out of the restaurant, and he drove the sheriff in the sheriff's vehicle away from the scene before investigators arrived in all of this. Now, under St. Tammany Parish policy, nobody that is not a sheriff's office employee is allowed to drive a public vehicle. But the sheriff was impaired, obviously. So he had the bail bondsman drive him away, the civilian. So, you know, we talked about a whole series of poor decisions by Sheriff Smith. First and foremost is you've got state ethics law that limit the amount of a free meal that can be accepted at $75. Now, I don't know precisely what the sheriff's portion of that $400 tab was for meals and alcohol, but I think it's pretty safe to say that it probably exceeded that. And if the sheriff was concerned about the ethics of the situation, he never would have accepted that invitation, or he would not have been there 4 hours. He may have just eaten a meal and left. But because he ignored common sense, he ignored ethics laws, he ignored internal policies that he holds all of his employees to a standard, those standards were ignored by the sheriff. And I think that they were ignored because the sheriff was obviously inebriated. And his judgment was clouded by alcohol and all of this. So one of the things that struck me in reading the sheriff's arrest warrant was that when the sheriff deputies arrived on the scene, the portion of the report that they wrote and turned over to the LBI was that the sheriff had left the scene when they arrived. When the LBI began to write this, they termed the sheriff as fleeing the scene. So if the sheriff had remained there, he would have been arrested on the scene. And I think that he knew that. And he elected to leave the scene because of A, he didn't want to be arrested at that time, and B, there may have been additional charges because of the alcohol that was consumed. So the investigators had to subpoena and the videos and subpoena the bar tab, interview a number of people. So it took a couple of days to put all this together, and it was presented in an arrest warrant that was presented to a judge that reviewed the evidence. The judge concluded that there was probable cause to authorize the Louisiana Bureau of Investigation to arrest the sheriff on a felony charge and two misdemeanors. And that's what happened on June the 4th. A couple of days later, the bail bondsman was arrested on conspiracy to commit a second degree battery because of what I described was his cooperation and participation in the premeditated planned attack on the victim, Mr. Cuvion, who is in the restaurant celebrating his birthday with his family at that time. So this case, and I know you commented on it too, but my initial comments on this is that if the sheriff is charged with a felony offense by a prosecutor, then I believe he should immediately resign. I think you called for his resignation right away, and that's the prosecutor in me, because the standard to arrest is probable cause. The standard to convict is proof beyond a reasonable doubt. A prosecutor applies the reasonable doubt standard. So if a prosecutor believes that he has proof beyond a reasonable doubt and charges the sheriff, it's going to be based and confirmed on the initial reports that the video supports, that this was a premeditated, vicious attack. And they're also going to have the benefits of the medical records of the victim, that one of the elements of a second-degree battery is that the injuries were severe enough to warrant a felony charge as opposed to a misdemeanor. So once that report was completed, it went to a prosecutor. I thought that initially the St. Tammany District Attorney's Office would recuse themselves from this case. But they ultimately decided that they did not. So that investigative report was presented to the St. Tammany Parish District Attorney's Office. That case was reviewed. All of the evidence was taken into consideration. And they charged the sheriff. And before they charged him, obviously, they charged him. And the case was allotted to one of the seated judges in St. Tammany Parish, the only seated judge that didn't recuse himself. And the reason that Judge Batto did not recuse himself is Judge Batto is not going to run for re-election. And I think some of the other judges over there, because they were going to be running for re-election, decided that they didn't want to have the appearance of any impropriety, so they recused themselves. So Judge Batto was the only judge that did not recuse themselves, which allowed for that case to be handled this past Wednesday. But before they walked into court on Wednesday, there was a plea agreement hammered out between the district attorney's office and the sheriff's attorneys in this case. And that plea agreement included the fact that the sheriff was going to plead guilty to a felony and to a misdemeanor, second-degree battery. The sheriff acknowledged in the factual basis of that plea agreement all of the elements that were necessary to justify a felony second-degree battery charge. The judge in this case, I was there on Wednesday, informed Sheriff Smith of all of his rights, reviewed the plea agreement, and accepted that the sheriff was pleading guilty because he, in fact, committed the crime and knowingly entered into this guilty plea. So this, what ended up happening is that the sheriff was given a 2-year sentence, suspended, 2 years active probation, and agreed to a mandatory participation in a sobriety program administered by a judge in Tangipahoa Parish. So that is not a just show up and you get your certificate and you walk away. You have, it's an intensive program that has multiple phases to it that takes anywhere from 15 to 18 months. And this is supervised by the court and probation officers that work for the court and provide services for these sobriety clients. So the sheriff is, if he completes that sobriety course to the satisfaction of the judge, then he will earn the right to have his felony reduced to a misdemeanor. Before that deal was offered to him, the victim in the case was consulted and agreed to this outcome. And this is an offer that is given to individuals like the sheriff that have a sobriety program, either with drugs or alcohol, and this is their first offense. So he wasn't given any special treatment. This is something that is routinely offered to people like the sheriff. So we're dealing now with the fact. Go ahead.
Let's break here. We got to get to the break, and we can pick up the conversation here when we come back. We're visiting with Rafael Goyeneche, President, Metropolitan Crime Commission. We'll be right back, folks.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Let's love!
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Stay with us. All right, folks, welcome back. We're visiting with Rafael Goyeneche, President, Metropolitan Crime Commission. Mr. Goyeneche was walking us through the process of what actually happened on that day that led to the sheriff, former Sheriff Randy Smith, being charged and ultimately pleading guilty. And, Rafi, I agree. I think everything was handled appropriately. He didn't get any special treatment. I like the fact that the DA made sure that he met with the victim, obviously. And if the victim probably had not signed off on it, I don't think it would have occurred. So it was, and that's typically how they do these things as well, right?
Exactly. First off, the prosecutor, the DA, is the gatekeeper to this program. So if the prosecutor believes that someone has a substance abuse problem, then he will then, that person otherwise qualifies for it. They'll go to the victim and talk to the victim and see if the victim agrees to it. And then when the victim gives their agreement to it, the prosecutor could enter in that plea agreement, but the judge still has discretion to reject it if he wants to. So, everyone was in alignment with the resolution to this case, but there was still one part of the guilty plea that I think I have an issue with. My concern with the sheriff, and I think that he did the right thing because as I said, I was there, and he issued a statement when he pled guilty. He expressed remorse and he accepted responsibility. But then I read his retirement letter, and he terms it a retirement letter. And he says after serving 40 years, in the St. Tammany Parish law enforcement community, I'm announcing my retirement. Under state law, when he pled guilty at 9:30 in the morning on Wednesday to a felony, by state law, he was immediately suspended without pay. So he was essentially still the elected sheriff, but he could not perform any of those duties when he pled guilty. And his retirement letter wasn't submitted until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And so essentially in pleading guilty, he was suspended, and that starts the removal from office And since he pled guilty, there are no appeals and no delays in that. So essentially, he agreed to resign, not retire in all of this. And in resigning, I think it still gives a glimmer of hope, because the real fallout from all of this is the fact that on Saturday, there's going to be an election. And for the past 30 years, there has been a millage that supports the operation of the sheriff's office. And in the sheriff's retirement letter, he talked about all of the accomplishments that his administration achieved. He cited the fact that all the new equipment and training and reduced crime rate and increased manpower, improved response times, expanded patrol districts, enhanced technology, pay raises, all of that costs money. And because of what the sheriff did in an alcohol-induced state on May the 29th, it puts all of those accomplishments in jeopardy. So the district attorney recognizes how critical the sheriff's office is and this millage is to the continued success of the St. Tammany criminal justice system in maintaining the low crime rates and maintaining all of the advances that have been made, that the sheriff needed to be removed. So I give a lot of credit to Colin Sims, the district attorney, in navigating this case the way that he did. It was in the best interest of the public, best interest of St. Tammany Parish Sheriff deputies, and in the best interest of the people of St. Tammany Parish. So this election is now, I think, hanging by a thread. If this millage isn't approved, the sheriff is going to lose a substantial portion of their operating budget that has been in place for over 30 years. And that's going to have a devastating impact on parish government and public safety in St. Tammany Parish. So the sheriff, talked about the fact that in his retirement letter, all of the wonderful accomplishments. But what happened on May the 29th? Because the sheriff ignored common sense and practical issues and ethics laws and administrative policies and state criminal law, he's put all of that in jeopardy. And I hope that it doesn't come to pass. But, you know, there are consequences for what happened. And the sheriff is leaving office as three of his other predecessors did in the criminal justice system as a convicted felon. And the damage that he has done to the sheriff's office may be the most significant, even more so than the damage that was done to the sheriff's office by Jack Strain, because that millage was maintained even after Jack Strain left office and is serving a life sentence as a pedophile and as a thief. So I hope that, the people of St. Tammany Parish see fit not to penalize the criminal justice system, the sheriff's deputies, and themselves by rejecting this because of the poor decisions that were made by former Sheriff Randy Smith.
It would certainly be the classic cutting off your nose to spite your face, because Sheriff Smith is not going to be in a position to manage that money, have anything to do or say with that money. Obviously, the incoming Sheriff Ebert is the one that would be in charge in the interim, and he's still not sure when they're going to call the election in this matter. Some are saying they were shooting for November, which seems pretty quick to me, but that may be what they desire. So it'd be interesting to see what is ultimately going to happen. I think they have an upcoming council meeting where they will make that decision. All right, we got to get to another break. We're visiting with Rafael Goyeneche, President of Metropolitan Crime Commission. We'll be right back, folks.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Deanna Roga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Stay with us. We're back with Rafael Goyeneche, President of Metropolitan Crime Commission. Rafi, there anything else to talk about on the Randy Smith front?
No, I think we covered that. Yeah. So
let's talk crime stats, crime reduction in Orleans Parish. I continue to see these reductions in crime every now and then, a little bit of a blip, but for the most part, downward trend, which is good to see.
Right. I mean, you know, one of the things that you've taught me over time is, you know, the fact that homicide is down 74% since 2022, that non-fatal shootings are down 64% since 22, and carjackings are down 78% since 22, and armed robberies are down 66% over that same span. That's the what. You always talk about the why. Why is it down? So the why is that the New Orleans Police Department and the criminal justice system are responding to the crime situation different over the last 4 years than they did before that. You've had something remarkable. The first time in this state where you had the Louisiana State Police actually create a permanent troop to help with urban policing in the city of New Orleans. So the fact that the state police are here, and they've only been here about 2 years. So for the past 4 years, the police department, because of the manpower crisis, were attempting to police the city in the manner that they used to use when they had 1,600 officers, even though the numbers have plummeted to 900. That model just doesn't work. And the police department was drowning in calls for service, and they weren't able to solve crimes via arrest. So the police department, about 4 years ago, began to reassess what they were doing, given their manpower constraints. And they decided that they were going to have to prioritize what they were doing. And they prioritized violent felony offenders. And that doesn't mean that they weren't concerned with or were ignoring property and drug offenses. But they only had so many resources. They recognized that many of the violent offenders are also committing other crimes as well. And by arresting a violent offender, it means that those individuals are off the streets. So not only are they being held accountable for a crime of violence, they are also no longer a threat to commit additional crimes. And many of those violent offenders were committing crimes of opportunity. So in between their crimes of violence, they were committing automobile burglaries, residential burglaries, thefts, dealing drugs, engaging in weapons offenses that are quote-unquote nonviolent offenses. So as the police department began to prioritize their resources and leaned into technology, they've been able to solve many of the felony crimes for violence that went unsolved during the 20 to 22 era when crime was escalating. On top of that, for the last 2 years, they've had the Louisiana State Police here. And they're not redundant to the police department. The police department is still responsible to respond to calls for service. The Louisiana State Police do not respond to calls for service. They're engaging in proactive policing, and everything that they do is coordinated with the New Orleans Police Department. So everybody knows what everyone is doing, and they're working together. And not only are the investigators doing a better job of coordinating and producing the types of results that everyone wanted, arresting the violent offenders, so too are the prosecutors. So consequences can't be imposed on violent felony offenders without prosecutors. And prosecutors are doing a better job in converting those arrests into convictions. And we're seeing, as the arrests went up for violent crime, we're seeing the inmate population in parish prison increasing. It went from about 900 pretrial offenders in 2020 to over 1,400 as we speak today. And that inmate population is a concentration of violent and repeat felony offenders. And as the population went up, the felony crime rate has declined. So I was just looking at some stats that the district attorney's office provided. In 2026, so far this year, there have been 55 guilty convictions in homicide cases. And that includes 18 jury verdicts and 37 guilty pleas. In all of 25, there are a total of 76 convictions for murder or manslaughter, 17 of which were jury verdicts and 62 guilty pleas. We've already, in the first 6 months of 2026, obtained more guilty verdicts from juries in the first 6 months of this year that we had in the entirety of last year. On top of that, you have the Attorney General's office now that's sharing the workload with the New Orleans District Attorney's office. And a few years ago, it was unimaginable that a prosecutor would give carte blanche to the Attorney General's office to walk in and handle a certain number of cases in Orleans Parish. That's happening right now. Any case made by the state police is prosecuted by the Attorney General's office. So collectively, the criminal justice system, the district attorney's office, the attorney general's office, the Louisiana State Police, and the NOPD are working together in ways that were thought to be unimaginable 4 years ago. That's the why in all of this. So I'm bullish on the future. I think that crime can continue to decline. The police department and the city are going to have to lean into technology. Technology is solving these offenses, and that's the type of evidence that prosecutors look for to impose consequences on violent offenders. So I think that we're on to a plan. It's consistent. And I think that we have just barely begun to scratch the surface of what can be accomplished if the entire system works together and continues to work together in the manner that they have.
And with that consistency, it begs of more consistency in moving these cases through the system, because it's all about throughput. And that's how we manage the jail appropriately, is throughput. And I know that we have some judges that are going to fall out at the end of their term. But the fact of the matter is, the others, I hope they're meeting and figuring out how to become the most efficient jail system, court system. They owe it to the citizens to do so. And if they have to, you know, adopt a standardized approach to handling their dockets, I would welcome it. I beg them to do that, you know, so that they can stay consistent every year. Because with that consistency, there will be positive outcomes for the citizens of the city of New Orleans, in my view.
I agree. Agreed.
But we shall see. As always, Rafi Goyeneche, thank you so much for your very detailed presentation. We always love to hear the details. My audience loves to hear the details, and they appreciate your efforts as well.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you, sir. That's Rafi Goyeneche, President, Metropolitan Crime Commission. We'll be right back. Check in with Scoot to see what he has coming your way on Free for All Friday. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
Well, as you know in the news, a big drop in crime, but is anybody feeling any safer in New Orleans, or do you still want to criticize the city? We'll talk about that coming up.
All righty, Scoot's headed your way, folks. What a great lineup. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Get out to vote tomorrow and have a great weekend.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's identity refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.